1 Corinthians 5, verse 5, just to reiterate, this young man had had his father's wife, which that's his stepmother. It would have said his mother had it been his mother. And they basically churched this guy. And because it was open sin that was unforgiven there, unrepented of, and but we're going to see some things in here because people have asked me about some of this church discipline and stuff like that. We're going to see what it says about in the Bible about this thing. That's a careful ground you better get on, because I'm going to show you some things here. We get to it where all of us better beware. This is an extreme case, and I'll tell you why. Because it's dangerous. Now, this boy, we know, we read in 2 Corinthians that he got right later and actually got welcomed back in the fellowship. All right, but it said to deliver such a one for destruction to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. You know what that one thing that implies? That when someone gets out of fellowship with the brothers and sisters in Christ, Satan can get them easier. Do you know that this thing here right now, we're in something that kind of pictures a fire right now, and you know being hot for the Lord, so to speak. That picture. Now, if you've ever built a bonfire and one of those embers gets out of that bonfire, that ember will cool off very quickly. But you can take your foot and kick that ember right back in that fire, and that thing will go right back to glowing. You know what happens? We get out of fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ who like-minded believers and things like that. We build one another up like that fire does that ember. And you know what happens? We get out of there, and you know what happened? Satan can get a hold of that flesh. It didn't say that he got his soul, but he can get his flesh. Why? Because we know that according to Colossians chapter 2, our soul has been cut away from our flesh, it says, in spiritual circumcision, so the sins of the flesh can't touch the soul. That's how we're eternally secure. Amen. Now, this old boy had done that. Now, watch what verse 6 says, kind of letting you know. He says, your glorying is not good. Now, you know what they're doing? Right. They're glorying in their tolerance.
That's right.
You know what the churches are doing today? These great big old monstrosities are doing. Everybody's welcome. Just everybody's welcome. Y'all, let me tell you something. Anybody is welcome to come in that door right there, but they're not welcome to hinder our fellowship and hinder our church the way we run our church. Why? If they did join our fellowship, they join us. We don't join them. Now, what I'm saying is this. Y'all, we should never allow the world to come into our church and to compromise the truth. The truth is always first. That's why the Bible says in Jeremiah 6:16 to stay on the old paths. Why? This church should be something you step outside of time in here. You're getting these things today. And I'm not saying it's sin or anything like that, but I'm going to tell you, that devil's crafty. He's like these old-time pews and stuff like that right there. There's nothing wrong with that. You know what you got today? People just putting chairs up and things like that. And they got to where now the lights are kind of low. It's kind of low-lit in there. And they got a little rock band going on. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And let me tell you something. That stuff's dangerous right there. Why? Because I can tell you something. There's a due order. The Bible talks about how God wants things done. And let me tell you something. The world is not supposed to be a part of this, of the way this church is run. It's got to be a certain way. You know what we've done? We've overcomplicated, or the world has overcomplicated the way the church runs. It's supposed to be Bible reading, prayer, singing songs. It's a simple service. It's not a jacked up organization thing to where people have made it entertainment. That's not church. You can get that out in the world.
That's right.
Now, they're glorying in the fact they'll just tolerate anything.
That's right.
He said, your glory is not good. Now, you know what? I'm going to show you what this thing, what the Bible says. What do we do with our terms? We see what the Bible says about our terms, not what the world says. Now, he says right here, he says, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Now, according to the Bible, leaven is a bad thing. It's not a good thing. Leaven, you know, you got a lot of these people that they're going to, I'm going to turn you to Matthew 16, and then I'm going to turn you to Matthew 13 and show you something here. It's a false interpretation of what people say leaven is, and I believe it'd be something that'll help you. In Matthew 16, you're going to see here that leaven is false doctrine, and leaven is sin. It's leaven every time. The sacrifice in the Old Testament were to be made without leaven. All right, so a little bit of leaven, a little bit of false doctrine, a little bit of sin will leaven the whole thing. That's why he's saying you let a little bit go on in your life or in another place without dealing with it.
That's right.
Now, you know what we're going to find out? I'm going to show you in the text. You know how the main way we're to deal as far as church discipline? On our knees in prayer.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. Any one of us could be in the same position.
Exactly.
Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. You got a lot of these folks that they say, oh, so-and-so's doing so-and-so. And oh, so-and-so's doing... You better watch it. You imagine this. The devil sees us judging oh, so-and-so and oh, so-and-so here. And saying, well, I would never do so-and-so. Simon Peter said, I'd never deny you, Lord. Went and denied him 3 times. And you know what happens? The devil sees and says, you heard him, didn't you? He said he'd never do that. Let me test him out, Lord. Let me tell you something. I don't want the devil testing me.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. If it wasn't for the grace of God,
amen,
I would be on a prayer rug somewhere. I wouldn't believe that Bible. I wouldn't be here teaching y'all. There's no telling where I'd be. Why? If it wasn't for the grace of Almighty God.
Yes,
it's by the grace of God we're sitting here this morning.
Amen.
The fact that we think we're holy enough to get through things without the Lord Jesus, it's just what that's the flesh. Following the devil in pride.
Yeah.
Now Matthew 16, look at verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven. See that? Of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now they didn't understand, and they reasoned among themselves. When you reason among yourself, you'll never find the truth. Every time you find somebody reasoning among themselves, they never find the truth. Saying it is because we have taken no bread. Which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, oh, ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. He's having to deal with them. Do ye not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Verse 12 is it. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine.
Amen.
Of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know what that leaven is? False doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Leaven is false doctrine, and false doctrine leads to sin. That's why we've got to climb through these Bible verses together, verse by verse. You know what verse by verse teaching does for a preacher? It forces me to look at what the Bible actually says. Not when old so-and-so says it means. What does the Bible say? Now turn to Matthew 13, please.
That's right, brother.
I'm going to show you something. You got these people and they teach, well, in this parable here, I'm going to read this thing to you, Matthew 13, verse 33, and they teach this thing wrong. It says, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. And they say, well, that leaven is the gospel.
No.
No, sir. I don't care what reference Bible you've got that says it's the gospel. Watch this. 11. Watch this. Which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. They say, well, that gospel's hidden the world and that whole world's going to be finally leavened with everybody believing the gospel. Let me tell you something. One of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come take us out of this world and what the Bible calls a catching away. Now you know what that leaven is? That leaven is false doctrine, and that leaven is sin according to the Bible. And you know who the woman is? You can go look later on in Zechariah chapter 5 and see that woman is a false system. Zechariah 5, I believe it's 7 and 8, but I want to turn you to Revelation and show you where this thing is headed. Turn to Revelation 17. Which woman it is. And the woman, you can go back and read Proverbs 5, 3, and 6 and see the woman all through Proverbs, but there's different women in the Bible. And there's a counterfeit woman who wants to be the counterfeit of the bride of Christ. Let me tell you something. The devil's an imitator and he tries to counterfeit everything. He said, I want to be like the Most High. You know what? The Lord's got a church and the devil's got a church. The Lord's got a city, New Jerusalem, and the Bible says the devil is going to have a city and it's going to be Rome. And you know what you've got? You've got the devil having a counterfeit for everything. The Lord has a spirit and the devil has a spirit. 2 Corinthians 11. You got the real gospel and you got a false gospel. And you got a false everything. You got a real Bible and you got counterfeit Bibles. Why? Because the devil has to have a counterfeit.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you this right here. It's leading to something. And thank God that He's going to catch His church out of here. But let me show you something. This is what it's leading to. Revelation 17. This is what it's leading to. Verse 5, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of," watch this, "harlots," plural. You know what? They're just like their mother. You know what a harlot will do? Anything with anybody to get paid. You know what these churches are doing?
Exactly.
As long as they get paid, it don't matter what you bring in here. It don't matter what song service you bring in here. It don't matter what Bible you bring in here. Anything goes as long as we get the money.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. That Bible calls that filthy lucre.
That's right.
And let me tell you something. That's so dangerous because that thing is going on and on and on. And you know what? People think that's church. And John marveled at that thing. He said, "Wow." He said, "What a mystery." Ain't that something? Babylon the Great. There's 13 capitalized letters, or 13 words capitalized right there. Mystery of Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That's 13. You know what the rebellion number in the Bible is? 13. Now, you know what the first time you see that 13 pop up in Genesis chapter number 13, verse number 13, there are 13 words in there, and they're sinners exceedingly wickedly, and it's describing homosexuality. And homosexuality has 13 letters in it. Y'all, a human couldn't put that together in that Bible right there. God put that together. Now, you know what this stuff's leading to? It's leading, that leaven is going to lead to the mother of harlots. And y'all, that's a scary thing. Y'all, that's why we want to warn folks about these things. Why? Because tolerance, you know what Rome teaches? Tolerance. Just anybody can come in here, no matter what. No matter what you believe or anything else. Let me tell you something. We need to conform to God's Word, because if you don't conform to the Word, you'll conform to the world. Right. Just like you talked about this morning. It's either the world or the Word.
That's right.
It's either back to the Bible, like the old preachers used to say, or back to the jungle.
That's right.
And you know what people are doing? They're going to the jungle. You know why things are getting wilder and wilder? You take a kid and you teach a kid he came from an animal, he's going to act like an animal.
That's right.
And you know what we need to teach them? They came from God. God created man. And He created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And you look at that thing there, and that's what you see in Corinthians. He's telling you a little bit of leaven. You know what that thing is? You let a little bit in there. And in our life, we got to, if you see it, get it out. Root it out. That's why it says mortify. Mortify. Kill it. A mortician, you think about that. Mortify the deeds of the flesh.
That's right.
Why? Because if we make provision for the flesh, we'll be in trouble. It's like the little boy. His daddy told him not to swim in that pond. And his daddy called him over there swimming in the pond. He said, "Son, I thought I told you not to swim in that pond." And he said, "Well, I know, Daddy. I didn't mean to." He told him, "Man, you got your swimming trunks on." He said, "Well, I brought them with me. I put them in the tractor just in case, and I brought them with me." And you know what he did? He brought them with him. He made provision for the flesh. And you know what we do? We make provision when we know we got to get certain things. If something there is in your life to weaken you, you got to get it out of the way. You're going to do it anyway.
That's right.
You don't trust that flesh. Don't trust it. A little bit. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not going to be the great big old things in your life that get you. It's going to be the little things that lead to that great. The prodigal failed before he ever left.
Amen.
The father's house, he had left in his mind before he ever left.
Exactly right.
Wow, little things here and there. Don't you know some of his buddies come by there and say, "Hey man, we had a great big old time. Like, you're up there at the house having to do chores and everything else. You staying at the house, man, you can be out here with us." Let me tell you something. Before long, that stuff started getting to him. And when he got out there with them, he realized he had made a mistake. Why? That Bible said he came to himself. He realized something. And I thank God for that text right there. A lot of people have been warned by that. Now watch this. Verse 7, back in 1 Corinthians 6. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened." You got to purge that. Look, if leaven was a good thing, why did he say purge it out? He says, "As ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us."
Amen.
Look at that. Christ our Passover. You want to see our Passover? Watch it. Look at Exodus chapter number 12.
That's right.
Man, it's a bless your heart. Let me tell you something. That Bible points to Jesus Christ. That Bible is a hymn book, and that hymn book speaks of Him.
Amen.
And man, that whole Bible. Why? Lo, I come in the body of the... He said, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Why? The Lord Jesus Christ is the key to the Scripture. Now, He said, Christ our Passover. In Exodus 12, it says in verse 1, The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Now that shows you a lot about the Jewish calendar. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take unto them every land. I want you to see this progression of this lamb. He starts off, and that Bible said right there in verse number 3. Verse 3 is the first one. A lamb. A lamb. Starts off like that. You know how the Lord Jesus is when you first hear Him? He's just a lamb. He's not special to you or anything else. He's just Jesus. But watch this. He's our Passover. And if the household be too little for the lamb. John the Baptist said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He becomes the Lamb. But then the progression keeps going. You realize He is the Lamb. Let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the Lamb. Watch this. Your lamb. Your lamb. He went from a lamb, he's just a lamb, nobody cared much about him, to the lamb. You're realizing something then. And he says, now you have personally taken that lamb. He's your lamb.
Right.
You know what salvation is? Christ, our Passover, is a personal thing. He went from a lamb to the lamb to your lamb. And let me tell you something about that lamb. Shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. Watch this. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Look, that lamb was sufficient. One lamb was sufficient for the whole assembly, he said. Look at that thing. The whole thing. I want you to notice there that right there, just in that text right there, that you'll see the progression of that lamb, and that lamb is sufficient. Verse number 7, the number for perfection. Watch this. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts. This is one of my favorite. This is one of my favorite things in all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. He wrote this. He had this Bible written way back then, and Moses didn't know what was going on. And you got the door right here. I'm just going to draw a simple door like this right here. Here's the knob on the door. All right. He said, take that blood. And he said, I want you to strike some blood on the two side posts. So he put some blood here and some blood right there. Now then he took it and he said, and on the upper.
Really?
On the upper.
Really?
Part of the door.
How about that?
Now look at right there. Christ said, I am the door.
Really?
Yeah, look at that right there. And you know what he did? He pointed a picture of the cross right there for you. He's on the upper one. You got a thief over here and a thief over here and this one in the middle. His pictures of Trinity. Three in one and one in three and the one in the middle died for me.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's the upper right there. Why? He's higher than the other three and he's higher than anybody else. There'll never be anybody else any higher than that right there, and it just happened to be in verse number 7. You can't beat that. Why? You know why we spell Savior with seven letters and not six? Look at there. S-A-V-I-O-U-R right there. Why? He died for me right there in the middle. Yes, sir. Why? That's why that King James Bible you got in your lap right there spells it with seven letters. Why? Not with six like a lot of the new ones. Well, put that U out of there. Well, I need that U. Why? He died for you. Man, I'm telling you, I need that right there. I thank God for that. Now, He's our Passover. Now, that Passover is a picture of our salvation. Let me tell you something else about that blood. He didn't put the blood on the inside. He put the blood on the outside where all could see it.
Amen.
And you know what? I thank God that I can publicly. Now, He may not give you that boldness first off. But let me tell you something. That's like Nicodemus. He didn't have it first off. But as he grew in Christ, you know, at the end of that thing, he was ready to tell everybody. He told him, he said, I want the body. They beg the body of Jesus. Man, the closer you get to the Lord, that blood's on the outside. I want all to see. I want everybody to see what happens there. You get excited. Why? He's Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. That's important right there.
And that's right.
Now let me show you something else back in Corinthians here.
Amen.
That stuff right there, man, if that don't get you excited, I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't think we make enough of it, but it's a blessing to have it.
Yes, sir.
Now watch what he says here. Therefore, let us keep the feast.
Oh, mercy.
All right, now it's good for us to keep that Lord's Supper. We about due for one here. Not with old leaven. Don't put the old sin in there and that old sinful life and putting up with things. Man, get these things out and grow. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You know what it's good to do? Just be sincere and truthful about things. He never says you have to be this, that, and other thing. You know what? If you follow the Lord, He'll make you sincere about things and lead you to the truth.
Yes, He will.
Just be. You know what? It blesses my heart. I don't have to be any more. I guess we could call religion is actually putting a bad context in the Bible. But I don't have to be any more spiritual than what I really am. I just be what God made me. I don't have to talk any more spiritual than what I really am. I just let God work in and through me with what He's got to work with.
That's right.
You know why? Because that's the truth. I'm not going to stand up here and be something I'm really not.
That's
why? Because that's not truthful. That's a lie. I'll be living a lie.
Right.
He says this, I wrote unto you in an epistle not the company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world.
Right.
Or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. Now, you know what he's saying? He said, don't keep company with them. Now, you got to be around them. Y'all, I had one guy. He said, I wouldn't dare go up there and eat in one of them restaurants in Tupelo, serve alcohol. Well, y'all, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. I said, okay. Well, I understand what you're saying then, brother, but let me ask you something. Do you go to the gas station and buy your gas there where they sell alcohol and beer? Yeah. I said, well, hold on now. Well, I said, the Bible said you be in the world, not of the world, using this world, 1 Corinthians 7:31, not abusing this world.
Yes.
Y'all, we're in this world. You got to be in here and you got to go places. I can't do anything for that matter. You got the highways. There's devilment going on all up and down the highway. We just stand here like this right here and not go anywhere. Y'all, you got to be in this world, just not of the world.
Right.
Now, yes, I will agree. You got to separate where you can. But y'all, there's so many places where you can't. And some people got different walks of life they're in. They can't do the same thing you're doing.
Right.
We can't put the same standard on the other guy that you go, oh, you're living a different life than the other guy is. You got some of these people. Some people have got things on them that we just could not imagine what they've got on them. And you know what? Pray for them and say, Lord, hold them up and help them up and things like that. But as far as that, I can't put that standard on that guy when I've got my life to live.
Right.
So he's telling you here not to keep company with them. But you know what we need to do? We need to pray for them. Why? Because you think about this. Let me show you something. That verse in verse 10 said, with the covetousness or covetous or extortioners. Now, and that's like here in this church. You have things go on. If we just kicked everybody out for every little thing when they're trying. Look, what about the covetous?
Okay.
Covetousness, which is idolatry, or extortioners. Let me give you one. Extort. I wrote it down. I looked in my Webster's. It said, if you pick that word apart, X, that X part is to pick out. Alright, tort comes out of torture. Alright, so you're picking out with torture with somebody, extortion. Alright, so you know what people do? A lot of preachers would be kicked out of their own pulpits. You know what they do? They say, if you don't tithe, God's going to break your car down. You know what? They just put a chain on you. They just extorted you for the money. You know what that Bible says? God loveth a cheerful giver.
Amen.
Let me tell you, you've got a lot of these folks here that's being robbed. Do you think God's going to count that money whenever they gave that money? Say, well, I'm just, man, if I don't give to God, He's going to break my car down. Let me tell you something. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible don't have to have us. He don't have to have a dime of ours. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the taters under the hills, and He owns the hills. Why? He'd just like to see you give because you want to give. It's like the one little boy, he didn't have any money, so you know what he put a note in the offering plate and said, I don't have any money, I give myself. He gave more than everybody there.
Amen.
You know what we've got? You've got to read that Bible and actually look at what the verse is saying. Why? Because we put one person out over here because he's doing one thing, we think we're not doing anything. He said, all right, that one person is just as guilty as a guy doing a little thing. So you know what you're going to find out? Things need to be handled on the knees. On the knee. You know we'd do a whole lot better spending time praying for other brothers and sisters in Christ than running them down. Why? Because I can tell you that would fix a whole lot of problems. We talk about, I wish those so-and-so was doing right. I wish those so-and-so was doing right over here. How much time we spent in prayer for them?
That's right.
Now, I'm not to say that, boom, they're going to be. But you know what? At the same time, we ought to pray because God is going to be the only one that can change a heart. I can't change a heart.
That's right.
Only God can do that. And He's saying you better be. Why? Because look at verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. Why? You know what? A lot of times that's like if somebody's got a conversation going on. And you don't have to go in there and say, y'all are wicked sinners. You're not talking right. You know what you can do? You can just walk off. Why? Just don't keep coming. You know what? Your silence speaks louder than most words.
That's right.
Just the fact that you're not keeping and you're not condoning it.
That's
makes
right.
A big difference.
Right.
Why? Because he's saying, y'all look, he's writing to a church. You know what? Is a person that is saved, if they get out of fellowship with the Lord, they can do things that just you'd never thought they'd be doing. And you know what happens? Just like Simon Peter went out and he never thought he'd be denying the Lord. And he went out and done that. You know what happens? Our strength is only in Christ. And whenever you get out of that fellowship, your strength wanes and you'll
That's
do
right.
anything.
That's right.
It's just, and he's warned. He says, watch this. If any man that is called a brother. Called a brother. A lot of folks called a brother, not a brother. I'll say that. Called a brother. Be a fornicator or covetous. The covetous part is just as important as the other. Or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such an one, know not to eat. He said, don't have fellowship with those folks.
Right.
Why? Because you're just saying, well, I'm fine with it. You know, it's a lot of times a lack of our fellowship with them will put them under conviction. That's what happened to this guy. He's showing us how to deal with them. Don't get out here and kick them. Why? Because, look, you can be the very one next. You get out here and he said the attitude is this. When you show them you're not condoning that thing, they respect you and they love you and they're saying, look, that man right there loves the Lord and I know he loves me and I know he loves the Lord. Something's going on. And they get to thinking. It'll drop. That's what got this guy right here to thinking. And that's why he comes back in 2 Corinthians. Why? Because it wasn't being condoned. And I can tell you, it got to him. It got to him. And he come back and they took him in. And Paul said, you better make sure you forgive him. Let me tell you something. We all want forgiveness. And you know what? When he come back, Paul said, y'all forgive him. Well, otherwise he'll have over much sorrow. Y'all, we ought to be like that prodigal son.
Amen.
If you go read Luke 15, the Bible says the father ran to him. I believe that father was out there looking for him. I believe he was out there every afternoon looking for him.
Yeah.
I do. And I believe when he saw him, and that son had put in his mind everything he was going to say. I believe that father said, man, you talking about making him feel welcome. I'm going to make him feel more welcome than he's ever thought about. And he ran to, I believe he hugged him so hard, I believe he couldn't hardly breathe.
Amen.
And you know what? I believe that's what God does with
Amen.
Us. When you get right in your heart and you get down on your knee, the father's right there. He's ready to take you. He's not going to kick you.
That's right.
That's the world that does that. You know what the devil says? The devil says, before you sin, the devil said, he said, you'll get away with it. And you know what happens? Whenever you do sin, he'll say, you'll never get away with it.
Amen.
He's wrong both times.
Amen.
Let me tell you this thing right here. It says, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? He said, look, I can't judge them that are without. He said, look, God takes care of that. Do not ye judge them that are within. Look, we ought to be able to take care of these inward things. We've got God, we've got prayer, we've got the Bible to judge things by. But them that are without, God judges. He said, look, those folks that's outside of church, we got enough problem going on in here anyway. Why do we worry ourselves with that stuff? Y'all, that's like some of the stuff that people get involved in. They're so concerned about what's going on in that world. I know folks that are so worried about what's going to happen to the earth. I work with one or two, and they're, man, do you know that this old global warming and all this stuff? I mean, yeah, there's a fire in the basement, man. You better believe God. One of these days, the whole thing going to catch on fire. What about that? Look, man, I'm not concerned with this earth. Why? Well, it's a bad one these days. The Lord's going to make a brand new one.
Amen.
I mean, this thing, the Bible calls it the regeneration of the earth. When the Lord comes back, the world's going to be born again. Why? It's going to go back to doing like it's supposed to. The lion's going to go back to laying by the lamb, and the lamb's not going to be in the belly of the lion. Everybody's going to do well.
Amen.
Why? Because they need the Lord. You know that the wind, when it whips around that building right there, it whips around there in a minor key. A wolf howls in a minor key. Why? The whole earth groaneth and is in travail for the coming of the Son of Man.
That's exactly right.
The earth really wants. That's what the Bible says. The trees are going to clap when the Lord gets back. Oh, that's just figurative speech. Let me tell you something. You've never seen the earth be so happy as it's going to be when the Lord gets here. The trees will grow like they're supposed to. The garden will grow like it's supposed to. Everything will be wonderful. Now, when the Lord gets here.
Yes, exactly.
But until then, this earth's in a mess, man. I'm not worried about that stuff. He says, therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. You know what happened? They put him out, and you know what happened? He got right.
That's right.
Now, what lesson do we learn from that right there? It ought to drive us to our knees to pray for folks that we know that need the prayer. And you know what happens, too? If they come back, we need to welcome them right back and say, Lord, thank you, Lord, that you're back. Not, well, we're going to see how they do. Well, I'll see how you do. Next week, you ain't no telling where you're going to be. I'll tell you something. Any of us get out of fellowship, our service is dependent on that fellowship.
Absolutely.
And if we ever get to where we think we're not such a one, we better take heed.
That's right.
Because we really could be. Now, we're getting some neat stuff about angels and stuff in 1 Corinthians 6. So we'll stop there. We'll close out. Dad, if you would close us out.